Wilden Wilden, and he works for the CDC and the Office of Public Health Preparedness and Response as a career epidemiology field officer, detailed, aren't you lucky, California Department of Public Health, Division of Environmental and Occupational Disease Control. He also works on preparedness and response activities, primarily those related to chemical releases and natural disasters. You can see the theme of this session. Hazard identification of chemical contaminants. And before joining, He works on preparedness and response activities, primarily those related to chemical releases and natural disasters. Okay, his non-epidemiology thing is, and we're going to have to come see you afterwards, is he also knows how to make pizza from scratch. And it's a skill he developed after spending a year living three doors down from the world famous, and I'm just going to take his word for it, Frank Pepe's Pizzeria in New Haven, Connecticut, correct? Okay, and as opposed to talking about pizza, he's going to be talking about mass chlorine exposures at recreational swimming pools and lessons from County Certified Unified Protection Agency, County Environmental Health, and State Health Departments. Thank you. And you got me ready for pizza.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to start this presentation by playing a recording. And I'd like you to think about whether this call is relevant to your jurisdiction as a public health agency, or whether you'd consider this a hazmat call, or is this an environmental health call?
Right now.
Fire department, location emergency.
We have a whole bunch of kids getting sick from drinking pool water at the Antioch Water Park.
What's the address?
4701 Lone Tree Way.
All right. Is this the Pruitt Family Park?
Yes, it is.
Okay, how many kids?
I want to say about 10 to 12.
And they're all vomiting?
A few of them are, a few of them aren't. Some of them are just coughing.
Okay. Is everybody conscious?
Yes, they are.
Oh, you know what I didn't see?
And so some are just coughing?
Some are coughing, and then some were throwing up a little bit. So all we could provide for them right now is water to try and contain what we believe is chlorine overflow.
Okay. How old are the children?
Ranging from 5 up to about 13.
Okay. And you're with them all right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And are all the children completely alert?
Yes, they are.
All right, they're all breathing normally?
Yes.
All right. And any of them complaining of pain?
Not that we know of yet.
Okay. Any bleeding, vomiting, any blood?
No, not that we saw.
Okay. We're going to send an ambulance over there. Are there parents there to accompany all the children?
We have a few groups that came in for camp, and most of them are accompanied by a chaperone or a parent.
Okay, so they all have either a chaperone or a parent with them?
Yes.
Okay. We've got paramedics on the way. If anything changes, they get worse, call us right back on 911, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so many persons, mostly children, were injured during this incident in Contra Costa County in California. 39 experienced symptoms, mostly vomiting, coughing, and eye irritation. 17 were treated on the scene and released, but the remaining 22 were transported by EMS to an emergency department for evaluation. And one child experienced symptoms so severe that she was admitted to the hospital overnight. And these children were exposed to chlorine gas. And harmful exposures to chlorine gas can, of course, occur due to industrial accidents, such as the release of pressurized chlorine from a storage tank. Indeed, one such incident happened in Graniteville, South Carolina in 2005, and 9 people died from chlorine gas exposure when a train derailed and ruptured storage tanks full of pressurized chlorine. However, chlorine gas is also generated by chemical reactions. for example, the combination of a strong acid plus bleach, and keep this chemical reaction in mind because we're going to be seeing it again later in this presentation. I'm just going to talk for a moment about the organizational structures that would have included responses to an incident of mass exposures to toxic substances such as chlorine. So I'm seated in the Division of Environmental and Occupational Disease Control within the Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion at the California Department of Public Health. And this is actually distinct from the State Health Department's Center for Environmental Health, and that's where Drinking Water Laboratory and Radiation Management and Food and Drug branches are housed. So our purviews are occupational health, environmental exposures, and also laboratory capabilities. And among these three branches are staff who are members of our division's Emergency Preparedness Team, or EPP Team. We provide technical assistance to local public health and environmental health and conduct surveillance and public health investigations of select hazardous materials releases. So we're the group within the State Health Department that works with county and local hazmat agencies. So we're therefore the state's interface between ESF-8 and ESF-10 functions. At the county level, Contra Costa County Health Services is the largest segment of that county government. And there are two departments within the health services that are of importance for this presentation. First, Contra Costa County Hazardous Materials monitors and inspects local businesses that use hazardous chemicals. They respond to emergencies and chemical spills, investigating the release and overseeing cleanup. And they also implement safety programs aimed at preventing chemical accidents. Now, Contra Costa County Environmental Health, on the other hand, regulates and inspects food establishments primarily, but also they have purview over recreational swimming pools, solid waste, cleaning up sewage spills, and, of course, overseeing body art, that is, tattooing in the county. So back to the incident at hand. This took place at a city-owned water park with five pools, and all of the ill persons had been swimming at the sports pool. That's the one on the far right. But nevertheless, all the pools were immediately closed in response to the incident. The incident command post, at the suggestion of the safety officer, was set up far away from the pool on the other side of the complex. And hazmat did not detect appreciable levels of chlorine in the air, but they did arrive nearly 2 hours after that 911 call. So any vapor certainly could have dissipated since this is an outdoor environment. Now, County Environmental Health tested chlorine concentrations and pHs of the pools. And the California Code of Regulations requires a pH between 7.2 and 7.8 and free chlorine of no more than 10 parts per million in swimming pools. Three of the pools, including the sports pool, were out of compliance, and Environmental Health ordered their ongoing closure until they were back into compliance for pH and chlorine. In the case of that sports pool where the children were sickened, the pH was 6.8, which was below the minimum of 7.2, and the chlorine concentrations were measured between 10.5 and 13.5. Now, while these demonstrated the pool were out of compliance with regulations, this minimal elevation of chlorine above the maximum level and a pH of 6.8 versus 7.2 really does not explain the symptoms of the bathers. Now, County Environmental Health evaluated the pool recirculation system design, and it turns out it was fairly standard. Pool water is drawn from a main recirculation pump into a filter, and then a flow meter continuously samples the recirculation line's flow rate and pH and chlorine concentrations. And depending on the measured pH and chlorine, sodium hypochlorite, also known as bleach, or muriatic acid, also known as hydrochloric acid, are injected from chemical reservoirs by pumps into the main recirculation line, and the recirculation line then leads back to the pool. So this is a fairly standard sort of setup. And this is what the components at that pool actually look like. Here's the chemical control unit in photo one, and we have the whole chemical injection assembly, which includes an acid pump and a bleach pump. Now, County Environmental Health used their authority to request the chemical controller readings for the hours preceding the incident, and County Hazmat then analyzed these readings. And they put together this chart, which shows the pool pump flow rate in green, and bleach flow in red, and acid flow in blue. So as you can see, at about 10:40 p.m. the night before the incident, the recirculation pump was turned off for the night. However, there was a failure in the chemical controller that caused a small subsequent bolus of bleach to be injected into the deactivated recirculation pump line. The next morning, for reasons that are still unknown, a worker might have accidentally manually overrode a warning from the chemical control unit, but did not restart the pool recirculation pump. And so the chemical controller then began feeding acid and bleach solution directly to the main recirculation line for several hours. The recirculation line was then restarted just before the incident. So this is another chart of the timeline showing this in a slightly different way. The blue arrows on the top represent the time when the recirculation pump line was active, and the yellow arrows represent times of bleach injection, and the red arrows represent time of acid injection, along with the time of that safety override and the time of the 911 call. So the buildup of acid and bleach in the main recirculation line liberated chlorine gas. And when pool maintenance personnel turned on that main pool pump, after a 16-hour deactivation, all of the pool chemicals that had been delivered during that 16-hour inactivation came out as a bolus, which released a chlorine gas cloud into the pool. So following this incident, the county worked with the Antioch Water Park to develop a comprehensive set of emergency action plans, including responses to chemical releases and a mandatory training program for park employees. And they also developed outreach materials as a result of this incident, including updating the pool safety, public pool safety classes and the pool safety website to include emergency response for pool operators, and also emergency situation templates for distribution at recreational swimming pools. And they've developed pool chemical safety handouts to be provided to county inspectors that are addressing hazards of pool chemicals. Now, from the county's perspective, there is a lack of awareness of chemical hazards among pool operators within the county. And perhaps because of this, at least in part, hazardous materials incidents impacting bathers at recreational swimming pools are probably underreported, but it's unclear as to what degree of the problem is that no authorities are informed, or specifically that county hazmat and county environmental health are not informed. But from this incident, the county recognized the need to understand exactly how hazmat and environmental health had to fit into emergency responses involving chemical release, and they began use this opportunity to start some cross-agency training and exercises. And this incident actually prompted us at the state health department to search through Department of Pesticide Regulation records, since pool disinfectant solutions are regulated by the Department of Pesticide Regulation in California, as well as records from the Office of Emergency Services. And we found that there were actually other incidents similar to this in California the same year. In fact, 17 days before the incident that I just talked about, there was a similar incident of third graders that were on a field trip to a recreational swimming pool in the city of Redding. And according to bystanders, when the children were playing in the pool, a large bubble was suddenly emitted, which released a cloud of yellowish gas. And children are curious by nature, so of course they swam towards this yellow gas that had showed up in the pool. And one child, a 9-year-old girl, was so severely injured that she had to be intubated to protect her airway and was hospitalized for 3 days. Another 9-year-old boy was also admitted but was released the following day. So these two admitted children were the most severely affected by the incident, but they're certainly not the only ones. In all, 28 children were sickened by the chlorine release. One child was released at the scene, and the other 27 were transported to local emergency departments for evaluation. And there are similarities between these two incidents. In both cases, the chemical pump actually continued to deliver acid and bleach while the main recirculation pump line was off, and that released a bolus of pool chemicals. In both cases, the recirculation pump was also turned back on while there were bathers in the pool. In another incident, in October of the same year in the city of Danville, also in Contra Costa County, there was a power outage that caused a shutdown of the pool recirculation pump within a pool in a high school. The chemical controller should have restricted the pool chemicals feeders, but there was a malfunction in the flow sensor accompanying the shutdown. which caused a dangerous buildup of both chemicals into the line. This happened at a high school where members of a water polo team were practicing, and maintenance turned the system back on and sickened those in the pool. EMS was actually not activated as a result of this incident, so we don't know how many people were impacted, but we know that at least six got medical attention at an emergency department or with their primary provider. And among them was a 14-year-old girl that was hospitalized for 3 days. And also in October, down in San Diego County in the city of Santee, there's another incident. This one's very different in terms of cause, but also revealing in terms of pool chemical safety. Students and teachers at an elementary school began complaining about nausea and shortness of breath and eye irritation in the morning. And persons at school recognized a caustic odor. And 77 students and four staff were transported to an emergency department for evaluation. This school was about 1,000 feet from a nearby YMCA, and the chemical pump at the YMCA had failed overnight and released about 300 gallons of sodium hypochlorite, which overflowed a secondary containment basin into a storm drain. And a worker noticed this in the morning and tried to treat the spill with sodium thiosulfate, which created a vapor which then impacted 81 people at the school 1,000 feet away. Fortunately, all the students and staff were released with minor injuries, and nobody died as a result of these incidents, but the impacts were substantial. Of these incidents alone in California, 154 persons, mostly children, were impacted, and four were hospitalized. And so we're working with the county to, Contra Costa County, to develop safety training materials. But a problem that was common to three of these four incidents was that the main recirculation pump was restarted while there were bathers in the pool after maintenance or an equipment failure. And we're also recommending that county EMS and environmental health agencies be informed about hazards in these communities when planning responses. And so, you know, there's really no uniform standard in the organizational relationship between hazmat and environmental health and public health, even though the three often have overlapping mandates. So I'd ask you to consider within your agency where would public health, environmental health, and hazmat fall in one of these incidents. Do you have contacts within each of these agencies? And if not, how would you get those contacts? The three often have different regulatory or response or surveillance roles. And at least within the state, our emergency preparedness team interfaces with these three, and is there a similar function within your jurisdiction at the state level? And I will just loop back at the end to say that there actually is no federal agency that has a regulatory authority over recreational swimming pools, but there is something called the Council for the Model Aquatic Health Code. This is a collaborative group that gets input from industry and environmental and public health, including CDC, and it has best practices, including which can be incorporated into county and state plans. California has not actually adopted the MAC, but there are certainly good ideas within the MAC for preventing these sorts of injuries and illness, including automatic shutoffs for chemical feeders. And so if you have ideas for preventing injuries and illness in recreational swimming pools, the MAC might be a way to go because they are updating their rules every 2 years. And so with that, I'd like to thank the many collaborators that made this project possible, and thank you for your attention.